This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
What do you think the future will look like? It's a question we ask ourselves all the time, right? Pop culture isn't subtle about it either. Books and media and movies are obsessed with predicting and imagining what the future will look like. 2030, 2090, the year 2500. Because of our awareness of time and our curiosity, maybe even fear of the unknown, we're fascinated with the concept of trying to predict what the next 500 years might look like, or better still, create it in our image. So for better or worse, we have no idea what the future is going to be like for sure. So how exactly do we prepare today's kids for something we know nothing about? How do you tell them what course at college will have relevance and job security in 20 years? What jobs will and won't matter when they're 40? What their world will be like? Will it be the one that we have now? Will it be better, kinder, crueler, poorer, similar? Who knows, right? I don't have kids. Don't know if I ever will. So this subject didn't really cross my mind until I saw this article on Fast Company called 5 Things I'm Telling My Kids to Prepare Them for the Future, written by Stephanie Casriel. She served as the co-chair of the World Economic Forum's Global Future Council on Education, Gender and Work. So she's not just some random person poking in the dark like most of us are. Her tips are simple but also open to innovation and accurate enough that they are safe to prepare your kids with. And I thought we could talk about that on today's episode. This is 5 for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, and today we're talking about how to talk to your kids about the future.
Number one.
Contrary to popular belief, the concept or the prospect of robots taking over our jobs and taking over the world isn't something new. Here's a recording from 1966. That's 52 years ago. It's a recording of a kid who, he must be about 12, maybe 14 at most, and he's talking about what he thinks the future is going to be like. And it's frighteningly similar to what we're still talking about today.
I don't think there is going to be atomic warfare, but I think that there is going to be all this automation. People are going to be out of work and a great population. And I think something has to be done about it. If I wasn't a biologist, that's what I'd like to do, to do something about the population problem. Try and sort of temper it somehow. I don't know how.
The idea of robots ruling the world is largely perpetuated by pop culture. Whatever movies and books tell us about the impending robot apocalypse is what influences our beliefs and fears. If you don't believe me, here's what Stephanie Casriel had to say about the issue of robots. When she attended the World Economic Forum in Davos in 2017, for some reason, the most commonly used metaphor for artificial intelligence and super robots was still the Terminator. It has been for a very long time, actually. Big, scary, killing, cybernetic organisms hell-bent on wiping the human race from the planet after reaching and surpassing the singularity. And then, when she went back this year, again, for whatever reason, the metaphor shifted from the Terminator to Iron Man. So instead of becoming the fully aware, revenge-seeking robots that we've come to fear, the mindset about AI and machine learning had shifted to gadgets that could help enhance and improve our work, a lot like how Iron Man helps Tony Stark become a superhero, or the Iron Man armor helps Tony Stark become a superhero. So people are starting to see AI as complementary and not so much a compromise. Yan-Li Kun, head of AI research over at Facebook, said it best when he said, "In particular areas, machines have superhuman performance. But in terms of general intelligence, we are not even close to a rat." And it's true. As much as we talk about self-driving cars, we have a long way to go before we get to the Hollywood standards of autonomous vehicles. So what exactly do we tell our kids about the future, or their future? Well, judging by what we know, it's safe to assume that robots will not be taking over the world anytime soon. Will some sectors lay people off? Sure. Lots of people who do routine tasks might lose out to automation and robots, but that's in our generation. future generations won't even apply for those jobs in the first place because those jobs won't exist. And you know, with things like Avengers and Iron Man cementing themselves in today's pop culture, digital natives like Generation X and Generation Alpha will see tech and gadgets and drones and even robots or cyborg elements, for lack of better terms, as a way to improve their work. Because these things basically create more jobs by enabling people to perform at a higher level of efficiency. So, point one, robots aren't going to destroy job prospects. They'll change it, they'll remove the need for some of it, but the majority of these innovations will actually open up new fields of study that will play a significant role in the future of today's children. They'll basically have jobs that we never had, because those jobs don't exist yet.
Number two.
As much as we talk about the irrelevance of school and the current education system, there's really no reason why the concept of going to school will be gone in the future. In fact, people might be technically going to school for as long as they want to keep working. The way we consume education, and more importantly, learn new skills, will change in a decade or two. See, while machines aren't going to take over the world anytime soon, technological advancements mean that machines and computers are smarter than they were 20 years ago, and they'll keep getting smarter as time goes on, which means that we'll have to keep up by learning new skills for ourselves. The age of learning up to your early 20s and then applying those skills for the rest of your life is coming to an end. In the future, people will need to keep learning because technology is advancing at a pace that universities cannot cope at the moment. Like these colleges, nowadays they teach you about the gig economy and blockchain, but by the time you finish those courses, the tech would have evolved past your syllabus. Now, according to the WEF or the World Economic Forum, some studies suggest that 65% of children entering primary school today will have jobs that do not exist yet and for which their education will fail to prepare them for. And there's another report from the World Economic Forum called Realizing Human Potential in the Fourth Industrial Revolution predicts that approximately 35% of the skills demanded for jobs across industries will change by 2020. That's less than 2 years from now. So, point two, what do you tell your kids about the future? Tell them that school doesn't end at 18 or 20 or 25. School, or more like education, is going to be a lifelong thing, and that's not a bad thing. It doesn't always mean homework, and no, wait, maybe it probably does. It does mean a lot of homework, but maybe it doesn't always mean teachers and crowded canteens. It just means that you get to better yourself and renew your skill set regularly. Massive open online courses, or MOOCs, will be a big deal, and nano degrees will be something that everyone has several of, and that's something that they can really look forward to in their future. Stick around, more stuff that you can talk to your kids regarding their future is coming up in a very, very, very near future after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Well, in the year 2000, I think I'll probably be the spaceship to the moon dictating robots to robots. Or else I may be, I don't know, in charge of a robot court, judging some robots. Or if something's gone wrong with their nuclear bombs, I may be sort of coming back from hunting in a cave.
Some madman will get the atomic bomb and just blow the world into oblivion.
It'll be so overpopulated. There'll all be wars, all nuclear explosions and everything. It'll make the Earth, too much radiation on it. It'll become too hot to live on. I think that there'll be no life at all, really, on the Earth.
I think it'll be very dull, and people would all be squashed together so much there won't be any fun or anything.
Computers are taking over now. Computers and automation. And in the year 2000, there just won't be enough jobs to go around, and the only jobs there will be for people with high HQ, high IQ, who can work computers and such things. And other people are just not going to have jobs. There just aren't going to be jobs for them to have.
You're still listening to Five for Fortune. We're talking about stuff to tell your kids about their future and what their careers might look like. Those clips you just heard are from that same recording taken in 1966, 52 years ago, with kids who were about 10, maybe 15 years old, 10 to 15 years old, talking about what they think the year 2000 will be like. As you can tell, most of it didn't happen in 2000, but our sentiments of the future are weirdly similar to those kids from more than half a century ago.
Number three.
A lot of people talk about the gig economy and co-working spaces and how these things are changing the nature of work. And even with all that talk, it's pretty understated just how much the nature of work itself will change for the kids of today. According to Stephanie Casriel, telling these kids that they can be their own boss is real now more than ever. The gig economy means that you don't have to follow a routine or the same job scope every time. Co-working spaces and global connectivity means you don't even have to be in the same office to work for that particular company. Basically, the digitization of work means that geography has less to do with the actual work itself. Mark Zuckerberg basically developed Facebook from his dorm. And even now, Facebook's offices look more like simple startups than the juggernauts that they really are. But the thing is, stories like this aren't unique anymore. The stuff that's changing the world, the Google and Facebook and YouTube, Amazon, Airbnb, Twitter, these aren't developed or designed in fancy corporate offices. They were basically the aspirations of people living on very little, working for days on end in front of a computer, literally coding the future of the online world. So it's very likely that the kids today will grow up with a default startup mentality. Unlike the generation before that saw entrepreneurship and venturing out into business on your own as a risk in most cases, that isn't worth it most of the time when compared to, let's say, like a steady 9-to-5 job, future ecosystems will be conducive enough to accommodate that sort of self-sustaining mentality and mindset. You could be coding for a major company from a beach on the other side of the planet, and that is a very real scenario that happens even today. You could be a freelancer making 5 figures a month without ever owning an actual office. So, point number three, in essence, tell kids that there's a very, very real possibility that they could be their own boss if that's what they really want.
Number four.
You know what's weird? With so much talk of connectivity and social media, there's actually a shortage of good social skills with Generation X and younger. And I'm not even talking about meeting up with friends at the mama and chatting about whatever. I mean like actual social skills, as in the ability to apply natural human behavior to your work. Creativity in conversations, being able to immerse yourself in various areas of discussion, adapting to different styles of conversation. Social media and the ability to do most of these things through text has sort of reduced the people's ability to have these interactions in real life. Maybe it's the duality of having an online and offline persona. We've all seen people who are super upbeat and super quote-unquote loud online, but quiet and borderline antisocial in real life. Anyway, that's a whole other problem and a whole other discussion. But according to the Fast Company article by Stephanie Casriel, kids need to focus on social skills to be one step ahead of the future. It sounds like something that you would know by default, but this is where we come back to robots and machines. See, because robots can do routine jobs, people will have to have better creative thinking and human-centric skills to land themselves new jobs and career paths that open up in light of robots moving into certain sectors. Think of it this way. As automation advances, the most prized skills are those that cannot be performed by a robot. And yes, you know, hard skills like programming, data analysis, engineering, and math are important. They'll always be important. But the World Economic Forum's Future of Jobs report says that technical know-how won't be enough in the future. Social skills like persuasion, emotional intelligence, and teaching others will be in demand across industries instead of narrow technical skills. So that's number four. Fourth thing to tell your kids about the future: technical skills will need to be supplemented with strong social and collaboration skills.
Number five.
Okay, so you know how I played those clips taken of children in 1966 talking about what they think the future is going to be like? I actually did that to drive home this message that Stephanie Casriel notes in her article. And it sounds simple, but it's actually very, very important for kids to know growing up. And it's that the future is pretty much up to them. I know that sounds like something on a car bumper sticker or a cheap calendar, but it's true. See, the kids in 1966 grew up in a bad time. There was an impending fear of a nuclear war. That's why they keep talking about the nuclear holocaust, and it's a pity, but a lot of them had no interest in living in the year 2000 because they all pictured it as this draconian, apocalyptic, overpopulated wasteland. Today, we have a very different view of the future. It looks exciting, it looks glossy and sleek and new and swanky, but unfortunately, the kids of today are also growing up in a politically unstable world, to put it lightly, with small, tiny hints and fears of an impending war. But their view of the future doesn't have to mirror the ones of the kids in 1966. I also wanted to point out that a lot of the predictions those kids had were weirdly similar to the ones that we have now. We're still waiting for flying cars and sentient robots. And we're still waiting for hoverboards. Despite a lot of fear-mongering about the future, no one really knows how technology will progress. There's a World Economic Forum study from earlier this year called 8 Futures of Work Scenarios and Their Implications that highlights that uncertainty even more, pointing to other factors that will also change the way we live and work, like our education system and immigration policies. I think Stephanie's article said it best. We make the machines. We create schools and write curricula, and it's up to us how talent and work move across borders. So really, here's point number 5 to tell your kids about the future. No matter what predictions and analysis, the future really is up to them. That is all the time that we have for this episode. We may not know what the future will be like exactly, but you can technically travel back in time and listen to this episode again via podcast, available on the BFM app, which you can download on the Apple App Store and on Google Play for free, might I add. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on 5 for Fortune, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.